welcome to episode 41 of Checkpoint Chat. I'm joined as always, well, I'm Alessandro Barbosa, obviously. This is important information. But I'm joined as always by Matthew Figuera.
You sound awfully brisk and professional this morning.
I am well rested, like that perk in Fallout when you sleep and then it's like you're well rested and then you earn double XP for a bit.
Does that make you bright and perky in the morning when you podcast in the game?
I mean, whenever I podcast in the Capital Wasteland with Three Dog, I'm always have to be well rested.
Like, this is my co-host,
Co-host. Yeah, dog meat. He's just like, what am I doing here?
No, he's like, bluff. Bluff. Bluff, bluff, bluff. Back to you.
Back to you. Yes, I killed 10 mutants this morning.
Nice,
yes.
Wow.
Fuck, I miss Fallout 3. Fallout 76 was such a disappointment.
Fallout 76 still making headlines for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, like, I think I saw the other day that they were reintroducing old bugs into the game with new patches.
Yeah, I think we covered that.
That's cool.
Nice.
Yeah, Bethesda. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm tired. Played some stuff till the early hours of this morning. Unlike you, who went to bed early.
I was so exhausted, man. This week has just killed me. So I was playing last night, and then good pal Craig, don't know if he's friend of the show, if he listens, not sure.
Craig, if you're a friend of the show, tell us on WhatsApp.
Blink twice. He's like, oh, we should play Apex Legends. And I was like, fuck no.
No. Yeah, but we played the night before as well.
Yeah, we also went to bed quite late. Midnight. And that's been like my whole week. So I was exhausted. My body didn't even know what was going on because I woke up at like 3 a.m. And I was like, hey, you should be awake. You've rested. I'm like, no. Go back to sleep. Back,
please reset the cycle. I need to have another spot
counter.
Of sleep.
Yeah, exactly.
Jeez,
I have this really bad habit of when I wake up in... wake up in the middle of the night, I check my phone, and that's probably the worst thing to do my sleep patterns.
You get stuck in the loop of what, Twitter?
Well, yeah, but also just like blue light in my eyes at 3 a.m, and then I must fall asleep again. My brain's just like...
Explain the science of blue light for people like me.
So blue light triggers...
I know it's a bad thing.
Yeah, it triggers activity in parts of your brain that keep you awake. So the parts of your brain that slowly start shutting down just before sleep, like blue light activates them, it fires them up again.
It goes activate nodes.
Yeah, so
your brain's like, cool.
It's really hard for your natural sleep pattern to start setting in. You know, like, so basically your brain at night, because of the lack of light, as light starts diminishing, you start getting sleepier and sleepier. It puts you, and blue light reverses that. So that's why they say, like, staring at your screen just before sleep fucks with your sleep patterns because, like, it makes it harder to fall asleep or it makes it harder for your body to go into, like, deep rest.
It doesn't make it harder for me to fall asleep. I just pass out. Have you ever fallen asleep with your phone in your hand?
Oh, yeah, all the time. Wake up with it on your face.
Yeah, or on the floor. You're like, how did this happen?
Yeah.
Broke my screen because
I did actually see glasses the other day, which are, you can get, like, prescriptions ones, and they almost remind me of those gaming Gunnar glasses. Because they're like
extreme glasses.
They got this like orange tint, but they're meant to allow you to work on your laptop and use your phone without being exposed to all this blue light and still get, you know. I mean, your phones do that whole light shift thing.
Yeah, I was gonna say that. I know that in recent years iOS is like, here's a lighter tones, whatever.
Yeah, they make the screen warmer.
You can always wear those glasses to bed now.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But I mean, playing Apex Legends till 2 a.m. is blasting tons of blue light into your retina.
But it's so worth it because the game's so good.
Some of the bullets are even blue, so it's like even
worse. are we talking about Apex Legends?
Yeah, we'll get there. This is Checkpoint Chat.
Do that.
Episode 41. Got to get through the rigmarole.
That is a weird word.
Rigmarole.
How does this one even spell that?
I actually don't know. Is it a real word?
Yeah, I think that is the actual word. Rigmarole.
And what does it mean? Going through a pattern?
I don't know. You give the rigmarole while I find a...
you find a...
Rigmarole. Yeah, hang on. My phone's taking its time, so...
Wow.
You get through that.
Riveting. Anyway, this is Checkpoint Chat, episode 41. We're here to talk about games, usually. When we're not
sometimes
googling rigmaroles.
Rigmarole.
If you'd like to contact us, you can find us on Twitter at Checkpoint Chat. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/checkpointchat. And you can email us, checkpointchatpodcast@gmail.com. All of the avenues are open for questions. You don't have to wait for Friday to ask questions. Tweet us, email us, send us cat gifts. We'll take everything with open arms. Maddie, this is a very long Google.
Because, okay, the word... The word I found, I don't know if I spelled it wrong.
So close to your microphone again.
Oh, no. Rigmarole. Yeah, apologies. Last week, I listened to the recording and sometimes I was very loud because I didn't realize I was so close to the mic.
I try to do my best in post-processing. Yeah, Maddie so makes it hard.
I should have said far back.
Not far back. I mean, that's like two fists.
No, but there was one time in the podcast last week, I did lean back and I was like, oh, that's the part where I leaned back. I can hear.
We should put up the pop filters again just as a means of
God. I actually need to because...
Just as a means of like, hey, you can be on top of this part now and not be like so close to the mic.
Okay, so I found rigmarole.
Rigmarole.
Which I don't think is the right word. No, it is rigmarole. A lengthy and complicated procedure.
Wow.
I suppose introducing a podcast is a lengthy and complicated procedure.
I mean, you could apply that to like heart surgery.
A long, rambling story or statement. I think Google's telling you a rigmarole is too long.
Okay.
No, I don't know.
So would you call like heart surgery a rigmarole?
Yeah, it's a rigmarole. I rigmaroled my way through that heart surgery.
Bloodborne.
I rigmarole all the time in Bloodborne. But more than that, not today.
Today's all about a very... Well, put it this way. Today's all about a game that wasn't even announced last week, which is fucking wild.
Yeah. Again, listening last week, because obviously I listen on Monday when the podcast goes up, we're like, yeah, there's this game rumored to come out on Monday from the Titanfall developers. And I was like, that game's out and it looks awesome now.
Yep. And I mean, okay, firstly, it's got a fucking shit name. I really don't
like the name. I also hate the name.
Legends is the most generic garbage.
It is, but inexplicably it's stuck.
But it's like, I don't know, it doesn't feel like it's got the same ring to it as like Fortnite,
Titanfall.
Yeah, you're just saying PUBG. I'm playing Apex.
So, Apex Legends.
It sounds like an edgy snowboarding movie from like the late 1999.
From the creators of Steep comes the competitions game from Apex. EA called Apex.
I remember there was a film a while back about like these people who were climbing Everest and like where shit was going wrong, and it was just called Vertigo, and I was like, ugh.
Now we're calling it Apex. Apex Legends.
But Apex Legends, battle royale game from the creators of Titanfall 2, apparently in development, well, not in active development, but they've been looking at a battle royale since 2015. They saw the battle royale mod for Armor, which would end up becoming PUBG, and thought it was pretty interesting. So this just shows you studios, they're not just reacting to everything in the market, but...
You mean something they didn't cobble this game together in like...
6 months?
Three months? No. What? Wow.
Remember the last time a battle royale was cobbled together in 6 months and was meant to look like a game show? It was called...
Radical Heights.
Radical Heights. Do you know where it is now?
Cliffy Blazinski.
Gone.
Radical, the depths of hell. Mm. Oh. Mm.
That story's still sad because Lawbreaker's fucking good game.
Oh, yeah? But bad timing.
Just no one playing it, yeah.
Bad timing. Overwatch was like, hey.
Exactly. Yeah, it was just
Lawbreaker's like, hey, notice me.
Notice me in my anti-gravity.
Everyone's like, no.
Mm. Apex Legends, though. So it takes the... So, firstly, it's in the Titanfall universe.
Yes.
So, all the weapons are weapons from Titanfall. Like, you'll recognize them. But it takes place on, like, a completely barren planet. And it's sort of like a... Not like a game show, but like a contest between these legends.
Mm.
These are six to eight characters.
Asterisks. Yeah, depending how much money's you... No, I don't
six
know.
Free characters.
Six characters right out the gate.
Yeah. And I think the biggest thing to talk about with Apex Legends is that these characters are more like Overwatch characters.
Yeah. Although, I don't know. The game is a battle royale, you know, traditional. Oh, that's a Coke. Sponsored by no-name brand, Coca-Cola. So it's typical battle royale in that, you know, you land on, okay, it's not 100 people, but 60 people land on an island. There's a circle that's getting smaller. You have to be the last person standing. So PUBG's done that. Fortnite's done that. They've all added their own little twist to that formula. But
What Apex does now is that it's introduced classes,
mm-hmm.
which when I first thought about it, I'm like, that's going to be weird because maybe one class will turn out to be more dominant than the other. But it turns out that the classes really are just subtle abilities that aren't, not to me anyway, it doesn't seem to be game breaking in any way.
Mm-mm.
They all have their time and place and their uses. Yeah, it's Overwatch, but it's not. Like, I get the comparison.
I think the big thing that the character abilities impose on the game is that the game can't be played solo. The game is designed around these characters synergizing with one another and you picking a team that kind of like complements one another. So
it's basically Dota.
Yeah. I mean, you're limited. So the game only has one mode, which is teams of three and total squads of 20.
That's 20.
Yeah. So max player count is 60. And you can combine these 6 to 8 characters in clever ways that, you know, kind of... I don't feel like they complement one another. I don't feel like there's like hard counters to anyone.
No.
It's not like, oh, this person's got a lifeline, so I need this character. It's more like, hey, Matthew chose... what's the robot? Pathfinder?
Pathfinder, the best character.
Pathfinder,
that out there.
Who just puts out ziplines everywhere, and he's like... pretty cool because you can be like, well, we need to get down there, and you can just pop a zipline. It's not like, oh, you've got Pathfinder, so I need to choose this character, Gibraltar, to synergize with them. It's just like neat little abilities that help out in
And it's helpful, and it depends what you want to do really in the game.
And the abilities I don't feel are like super imposing on the game. Like Pathfinder, he's got a grapple hook, a personal grapple hook, and his ultimate is like putting down a zipline. And he can look at where the next circle is going to be, which is fucking
useful. That's helpful,
That thing is very helpful.
It's game break. No, it's not game breaking, but it's
like
very helpful.
In a direct firefight, none of those abilities help. Maybe sans the grapple hook for escape.
Although we still need to establish if the grapple hook can be used as a weapon.
Can we kill people? Yes, we do need to. This is important.
I'll try one.
And like a Gibraltar, his main thing is like he's got an airstrike, so that's pretty useful. Mm. And he's got a bubble shield, so... he can use it in a, you know, hectic firefight to gain a breather. Mm. But, like, it's not something where, like, if you go one-on-one with Gibraltar, you're going to lose because you've got a less tanky class.
Mm.
Not like Overwatch, where if you're going one-on-one with a Reinhardt and you're a Tracer, you're going to have a tough time, you know? It's balanced in a way that encounters are still skill-based and not necessarily based on... what abilities your character has, I think.
Although, don't you dare try to take Gibraltar head on.
Gibraltar's scary.
Because he's got his one ability shield. Just to have a shield when he's aiming down south. So I'm like, okay.
It's like an additional pip on his, you know, if you've got a shield chest thing.
Mm.
Yeah. But yeah, what a game. Game. It's got, what I think is the good thing about it is it's got all these little... small features that other games can learn from, like what's the thing that stands out to you?
Well, we've been talking about it at work the whole week. Is that it's funny how it takes bits and pieces from all the existing battle royales, which is an advantage. Every battle royale that comes out from now onward is always going to address something that people don't like, or like a inverted commas problem from previous games. And Apex Legends just feels like it's taken you know the best bits of everything that exists now and address the parts that people hate, like in massive ways. So, like, I don't know, the cleverest part of the game for me is the tap to call out stuff button. I don't know what it is on PC, but on PlayStation it's R1.
Basically the ping system.
Ping system. So basically you land, you see an armor, level 1 armor, you can tap it with R1 and your character will say, hey, there's armor over here, and then it pings it on the map and it's there like an item. You don't even need voice chat because people that are on your team are like, oh, there's armor over there. Cool. Let me go there and pick it up. Or you can ping on a location on the map, say, cool, let's go there. And other people can ping that same location and the actual character will say, yeah, let's go over there. And it'll, you know, complement what you just said. It's just very clever. You don't need voice chat. Obviously, it helps, but you don't need it. Because, I mean, how many games have you played where, I don't know, like Fortnite, some dude... buggers off and does their own thing.
Yeah.
Not to say that people don't do that in Apex, but as an example, John Michael and I have been playing a lot this week, And we always have a random third person. And we'll be like, no, we want to go there. But we ping it and the person's like, oh, we're going there. And they'll follow. So just small things like that that really help.
I think in both PUBG and Fortnite, you could just put markers.
Yeah, you put markers, but there's no actual vocal, like, hey, whatever. Yeah.
Like, I think what Apex Legends does really well is that it... everything, every facet of the game
can be pinged.
Yeah, it can be pinged. So, like, if you see an open door in a building, if you ping that open door, it will know that you're saying, hey, someone's been here. So it will relay that to the rest of the team, the same way in that you can ping chests that have been opened. You can double tap ping to mark an area as you've seen an enemy there, yeah. You know, like, it's exactly what you said. You can play this game without voice chat, and the ping system is both... I think to me it's even clearer because I've been playing voice with friends, so I've been playing with voice chat, and very often, you know, someone like Craig or Glenn will be like, "Enemy here," and they'll read out instinctively because this is how they used to do it, like a pod on the compass, and I'm just going, "Just fucking ping
just
them."
Just ping
like,
them, yeah.
As soon as you ping them, I can see them. Like, I don't need to look at my compass and then make a decision. Make, yeah. So it's almost weird that people who are used to battle royales are having to even relearn because there are better ways to communicate than voice.
I mean, and it's not only that. There's a bunch of other quality of life stuff. So if you die in Apex Legends, in other battle royales, you die, you're dead. That's it. You sit back, watch your friends play, go make yourself coffee. And Apex Legends, there's such an emphasis on squad play. So when someone gets downed, okay, this is a bit of a side trick, but I'll get to my point eventually. If you get downed in other games, more often than not, a person will finish you. Like, okay, this person's done, let's kill them. Like, just delete them from the game.
Yeah, because it prevents you from helping out your friends. Really. Yeah.
But
you can still ping while you're downed.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is crazy.
But in Apex Legends, when you're downed, there's an item you can pick up that's a shield. So you can still shield yourself when you're down. And now your enemy has to think, do I waste a clip on finishing this person, or should I just wait and go find other people, you know? So, like, there's already an option for, even if you're down, you've got an option to still maybe survive, depending on how the fight happens. Say you do die, though, it's not like, oh, I'm deleted from the game. If your teammates win, manage to, you know, defeat the other squad, they can pick up, is it a beacon?
Banner.
Is it a banner? Okay. Yeah. They can go take it to respawn points, and you can hop back into the game.
Yeah.
So, granted, you don't have loot, but you're not like, you know, shit.
You're basically starting from completely zero again, but like, you're back in the game.
And it's not that difficult to loot in the game. I mean, depends where you are, I guess. I've had some hits or miss games where there's like no loot.
I mean, but it depends on when it happens. I had a match the other day where this happened. I died, and I was revived when there was only four squads left or three. So the circle's tiny.
Yeah.
And now you're in the most intense part of the game, and I had a pistol.
Nice.
So like, well, you know, you get back, but it's not a very easy decision to make.
There's some dogs singing over
dogs
here.
Dogs singing. hold on. Give me a second.
They're still singing, but we've closed the door.
We've closed the door. Hopefully that helps.
Okay, what were we saying? Apex Legends.
Yeah, so the revive thing is interesting because it's completely different to any other battle royale. Like, immediately when I heard that you could spawn again, I was like, huh, that's odd. Like, but they balance it in such a way that you have to weigh up like a risk reward thing. Like, do I dive back in to fetch the person's banner before it expires? And then you have to find a point on the map where you can revive them, and those points are only single use. So say, like, if you're in a circle and someone's used the two or three that are in the circle, then, like, you're fucked. So but it adds a really cool element.
But even that, there's a risk to it. If you go revive someone, a huge plane flies overhead and people know. Like,
they know exactly where it's
someone's being
from
revived. And we actually had a skirmish last night where it benefited us because we were there and we're like, oh, someone's being revived. They don't have gear. We're clearly stronger than them. We managed to take them out. What was I going to say, though? Oh, but that revive system it does pay off sometimes, though. We played a game yesterday where I can't remember what happened, but for some reason, our third random went off and died. We managed to go kill the enemy team, pick up his banner, and
bring it back.
Yeah, bring him back, and we ended up winning the game.
Oh,
which
really?
We wouldn't have been able to do if he was.
You got a victory dead. Royale.
First time it took a long time. The whole
so
last.
Jealous. I still haven't got one. Oh.
So now that I've mastered Pathfinder, I can move on to the next game. Although I did pick a few other characters last night. Like I really missed a grapple hook. I'm so used to it now.
Mm. It's actually I played as Pathfinder the other day, and grapple hook's got a shorter range than I expected. But it is useful.
It's super handy because it is like there's this building's three stories high. I'm just going to grapple up there.
The zipline. I actually use the zipline quite a bit.
You should play with me now that I actually use the zipline properly.
So you're like, should I put a zipline down? And by the time you said that, we were already like sliding down a hill.
Like okay, really I'll just zipline myself.
Yeah. I really enjoy playing Gibraltar, who's like the more tanky. I mean, all the characters move in at the same speed and they all have the same life. So... calling him a tanky character is a bit...
He just looks tankier.
He looks tanky, yeah. The other guy I really like playing is... Wraith. She's the teleporter witch person. I'm still figuring out how to use her portals, her ultimate, effectively.
Yeah, it's a bit of a weird... Although, yeah... Because
you have to place an entrance portal and an exit portal.
Here's one that happened last night. So John Michael was playing Wraith, and then there's one person just by themselves, and he's like, okay... Are you with me? I'm like, what are we doing?
Mm.
You quickly put up a teleporter, ran to this person. We both teleported onto them and killed them. So it's like just the elements of surprise, like instant happy.
But the portals can be used by your enemies too. We had a match the other day where we saw a portal and we were like,
nuts.
We don't know where the exit is. So as we popped out, we saw the enemy shooting and they didn't know they were
like, surprise.
Yeah, surprise. I wonder if you could set up ambushes that way, like put a portal down,
I'm sure
entice someone and just aim at the portal.
Yeah, like, I wonder how long it lasts. But I mean, there's that sort of stuff in the game that a lot of people still have to figure out. I mean, even Wraith's invisibility. When the game came out day one, I saw a clip on Twitter where someone was under fire and then they went invisible, ran around these people and then just killed them. I was like, well, that seems a bit strong. But now, like John Michael pointed out, the moment you go invisible, the team's like, huh, just sit tight, let's wait and see what she does.
And there's also a trail.
So it's not as strong as you think it is, but it's very useful if you want to like make a quick getaway or get into a better position.
Or if like a firefight is really hectic and no one's really paying attention to every single person's movement, like... You can use it to reposition pretty easily. It's great. Like all these quality of life things as well. Just like the ping system is phenomenal, but I also find the inventory system really good.
Oh my God, the inventory system is... but that's what I'm saying, is that it's like, what do you hate about PUBG, for example?
Yeah.
It's the fact that you have to look at the ground, pick up a scope, you know, equip this, that, blah, blah, blah. Okay, you find another gun and you have to take all the scopes off your existing weapon, all the attachments, pick up the other gun. This game, it's like, oh, you've got these attachments, you can transfer them to this other weapon immediately just by picking it up. And it tells you, it highlights.
Yeah,
it'll
be like
clever.
These attachments that you currently have are compatible with this weapon. And then when you swap, it just immediately...
Them on,
you can swap attachments between weapons with the press of a button.
Mm.
It's super easy. And in your inventory, like... It will highlight, it'll be like, hey, you've got this item, but you've got nothing that uses it. So you can easily say, okay, I can discard this or discard that.
Yeah.
And, you know, discarding items and adding them to your inventory is really easy. It's all...
pull up your inventory and it's like, you have all this ammo that does not go with any weapons you have.
Mm.
There's a big icon. You just drop them all. Like, okay, delete all of this out of my backpack. Got space again.
It does make the... I feel like all these pop-ups, because when you stare at a weapon, like it pops up saying what it is and this and that. It makes the UI a bit cluttered. But I've seen that there is an option in the menus that once you become comfortable with everything,
you can turn it down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then you can just know, like, okay.
Yeah, because I still do that. I mean, I don't know the weapons... I know a lot better now, but I'm still like, what is this? I have it. It's like, oh, an automatic rifle. Cool. I don't need it. I need it.
What ammo does it take with this?
The ammo. I mean, I was just picking up all the ammo I could see. Now I'm like, no, I don't need that. I've got this weapon.
And I love that the ammo is simplified. It's like even Fortnite struggles with this, where it's like, you still have to look at the shape of the ammo and know that this can... This is just four types. It's like light, heavy, energy, and... Shotgun,
yeah.
That's it. And they're all color-coded.
Mm.
So it's like straight light up. Yellow, red, this. So you're never stuck worrying about whether, you know, what ammo is what and what takes what. It's like communicated so well and so clearly. It's,
yeah.
It's for a game that is for a battle royale that's more speedy and has character abilities and this and that, it is also probably the most accessible one out there. Yeah, I think, just because of how it teaches you and all its tools that it has.
A lot of, I mean, I've heard stories from a bunch of people like, yeah, I've got this mate who hates battle royales, but they're playing this game. And I've seen on Twitter, like, I've never played a battle royale. Apex is the one that I've tried and I'm loving it. So it just shows.
Fascinating. Yeah.
And how weird. This, again, like this time last week, what is this game? Oh, how weird. Titanfall developers making a battle royale. And now it's out and it's so good.
I mean, the one thing, if you haven't heard about the game yet, that you're probably asking is, are there Titans? Like, no. There aren't. There are no robots. Apparently, Respawn looked at trying to include them, and no iteration where they had them could they either balance them or make them fun.
Yeah.
So I kind of understand that when people were lamenting the fact that there were no Titans, I was like, imagine trying to balance something like that. Like, I can't like in my head figure out how they would make that work. Yeah. So I get that, and I don't really miss them from the game. The one thing I do miss from the game is, even though you're fairly mobile, like you can zip up zip lines with the mechanism that you have, and you can slide really fast on hills and stuff, and you can grapple onto walls. I do miss the like double jump from Titanfall, and I miss the wall run. Although the wall run, I maybe understand why that's not there.
Yeah, but not only that. I think there are 8 characters now. They're definitely going to add more.
Mm. And also all the characters have a different type of mobility, I feel like.
So they could make a new character, give them a double jump.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that'll...
I really want to unlock the toxic caustic guy.
What does he do?
Man, okay, so there's 2 characters that are locked. The one is Decoy, who can create holograms, and apparently he's not really good because his holograms are fairly easy to spot and whatever.
It screwed me a couple of times. Like, just a hologram.
You can send it a hologram even. Oh, we didn't even talk about the drop system. Anyway, we'll get to that.
We'll get there.
Caustic, I think his name is Caustic or Toxic or whatever. He's super cool. So he can put down up to 6 mines on the map, which are like gas mines. And you'll get notified when they're triggered. And they do a lot of damage. Like, the poison stuff does so much damage. Then his ultimate is like you throw a massive cloud of poison on an area. But his passive is what makes these ones. So anytime someone's taking damage from your gas, they are highlighted on your map. So you can throw down a massive gas cloud, obscuring the vision of your opponent while killing them, and then you'll see their highlights. You can shoot them through the gas. Like, it's fucking crazy.
That's strong, yeah.
I've come across so many where they just throw down the ultimate while you're choking, trying to find a way out. You're just being pegged off and you have no idea from where. Yeah, it's mad. And there's a new character coming next month already. So season 1, because they're doing the whole battle pass thing.
Game's free to play, by the way.
The game's free to play. And you earn in-game currency to unlock the characters and whatever. But yeah, season 1 starting next month, and they're introducing a new character already.
When I saw those class bases, like, shit, I don't know how they're going to balance this. But like we've iterated now, the classes, they different, distinct, but it's not game-breaking or game-changing stuff.
Yeah.
It's more about picking something that suits your playstyle or fits into the team, you know, what are you guys trying to do, that sort of thing. So yeah, I mean,
but also like the game's going to live and die on updates. Like Fortnite has shown that. Like,
what amazes me is that this game, everyone's playing it. Like, I don't know if it's, obviously it is, you know, launch hype, whatever, but in my back of my mind, I'm like, it genuinely is very good. Take away the launch hype, I think about Blackout. I played that a little bit and I was like, yeah, it was fun. I had no incentive to buy Black Ops 3. Like, Black Ops. But I was like, yeah, maybe, but I don't really want to drop my money just to play this battle royale. Whereas Apex Legends, I played it now. Okay, it's free, but like, I just want to play more of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm dying. I played until 2:30 2 this morning. I just want to go play more of it.
What has it got, like 10 million players in the first 72 hours or something like that?
It's insane.
Yeah, that's incredible.
It's done real good.
I love it. Like, man, you've got the system where it randomizes who picks their characters first, so you're never stuck in a position where it's like, oh, this person's always going to pick this one first or whatever, especially if you're playing with random people.
Yeah.
And then you've got the awesome, awesome jump system where you, it picks someone to like organize a synchronized jump, and then you can just let them control where you land. So it's like a synchronized thing, or you can break off and go on your own, which is 100% not advisable.
Yep.
But it's just like cool things like that. Like, you don't have to coordinate your jumps and worry about someone who's not able to get the same distance as you. It's like all up to one person.
Yeah. And you can jump pretty far regardless.
Yeah, you can. Cool. You can. And the person who gets selected as a jump master can relinquish it if they don't feel comfortable choosing it.
I often do that because I'm like, nah.
Yeah, exactly.
You pick, so it's not on me.
Also, I'm often just on my phone. So I'm like, oh, I don't want to jump. So I'm just looking at Twitter while we're waiting to jump. And then you get that epic as fuck music when you're falling. It's so,
every time you land.
It sounds like an Avengers end scene film. It's like Iron Man going in to kill Thanos type music. It's wild. It's so good.
So if you guys haven't played Apex, it's available on Xbox, PlayStation, and PC.
Mm-hmm.
Completely free to play. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the money comes in if you want to buy skins and all of, you know, but straight up buy characters. Really good. But
even if you're not, even if you haven't been grabbed by battle royales in the past, like, I would 100% recommend an attempt or a try. So, yeah.
You've just been playing on PS4, eh?
Yeah, just been playing.
Yeah, I want to try on PC at some stage, just to see how...
I want to try on PC, but I know people on PC are fucking good. Like,
I don't know. Like, you'll get people that are generally very good, very accurate, but I don't
Headshot
know.
Headshot wizards, man.
Yeah, but the game... Like, okay, this is a dumb example, but this is one game where I'm like, shotguns are actually useful.
They... You need to have a shotgun in this game.
I think, okay, like, not that shotguns aren't useful in Fortnite, because they definitely are, but in Fortnite, it's like, if you're too far and you have a shotgun, like, sorry, you're going to have to build and just hide. Pray for a good circle or something. PUBG, shit, I don't know if I've ever...
PUBG's a long-range game.
Yeah, if I've ever used a shotgun in PUBG, whereas Apex, I'm like, I have my shotgun, I can use all the fast movement to, like, close the distance, get to cover...
Have to use a shotgun.
And so the reason I was bringing that up is because to me it's like, yeah, headshots and that counts, and guaranteed you're going to get the PC players to do that. But to me it's more about playing mind games, more about how you move and how you get into combat that dictates if you're going to win or not. So,
I mean, it's interesting because it's like PUBG on PC is 100% a long range game. But on console it's become more of a close quarters one, just because like,
it's hard.
As accurate with a sniper.
Yeah.
It's harder to pull those same things off. So I wonder what the rules of engagement are on PC as opposed to console.
Yeah. If I get time this week, can I give it a bash?
I mean, it will look pretty. So the game looks really good.
Crossplay is apparently a thing eventually.
Not up yet.
I'm not so much as interested in the crossplay as I am in the fact of keeping my account across both platforms.
Yeah. That is more that's the part of crossplay that people are like, how many times are you actually playing with other people on other consoles? I'm like, sure, but the point is the account thing.
It's more Fortnite I can play on PS4, on my Switch, on PC, and I have my same items, same level.
It's the same with Destiny, man. I would fucking play all my time on PC if I could.
Yeah.
But I can't transfer my progress from PS4.
And
I really, really, really don't want to go through like Forsaken, the whole campaign again, and build up my inventory stuff, of exotics and stuff like that. Like, I just want to play on PC because the frame rate is better. I'm not gonna play because anyway.
So that's Apex Legends.
Apex Legends. What
go
a game.
play that damn game.
Send us questions if you're enjoying Apex Legends and you wanna give us some cool story stuff. Moments that happened.
Tweet at us your favorite characters.
Yeah, tweet at us your favorite characters and why it's not Pathfinder.
Pathfinder's the best. I mean, come on. Although, wait, who's your favorite at the moment?
I'm still bouncing between people.
I've just been stuck on Pathfinder.
Yeah. When I'm not playing with you, I'm playing Pathfinder. I'm enjoying it just because most other people are picking Lifeline and Gibraltar. Like, Craig always plays Gibraltar and Sage always plays Lifeline.
What's the character like that drops smoke?
The girl.
Name escapes me now. I'll find it.
Yeah, I've forgotten her name now.
It's fine.
Her ultimate. The reason I find her strange is that she's very similar to Gibraltar.
The ultimate's
also like an airstrike, so it's very odd. Bloodhound is pretty cool. He can track enemies. I think his name is Bloodhound or Bloodhunter.
Something.
Bangalore, that's her name.
Bangalore.
And the other dude is Caustic.
Yeah, Caustic is the toxic
guy. Mirage, Pathfinder, Wraith, Gibraltar, Lifeline. I haven't played Lifeline yet, but or Bloodline. Gibraltar, actually. I've played Bloodhound.
Okay,
I'm tired, okay? Leave me alone.
Bloodborne.
Bloodborne. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you haven't played a lot of Bloodborne this week, so we're not going to chat about that.
We spoke about Apex for a good half an hour.
I can chat a bit more about Astroneer.
Give us some of your closing thoughts
on Astroneer. So if you listen last week, Astroneer is this like really cute planet exploration game, like Space Explorer. It's got a really cool look, like this cartoony look. Like cars have these like chunky black wheels. They're really cute. The planets are like low poly, procedurally generated. And everything just looks like larger than it should be. Like when you're plugging in power from buildings to, you know, you have to redirect power from your base to structures that you build so that they work efficiently. Like you physically take this like big black cable with this like red plug at the end and you go, it's really satisfying. It's very cool. But the more I played, the more its problems started to like appear. So firstly, the more you expand your base, the more tedious it becomes to like redirect power around because you're doing it individually. Like when you have to make a big change, it's like a big change.
Yeah.
There's no way to like see that from like a top-down view and edit it in that manner. Also, inventory management becomes a bit of a pain. Like I like the inventory system where like your backpack is always visible, so you're always dragging things from the world onto your backpack and stuff like that. But then a lot of the times I was just like driving out into the world, filling it up until my backpack was done, driving back, and then constructing this little like wall where I could pop these little resources on and then individually dragging them onto the wall. It just became really tedious after some time.
Last week you said like because I saw you gave it a 6 out of 10.
Yeah, 6 out of 10. Yeah.
So I thought, I was like, but last week you sounded so like, you know, you like the game, you're enjoying it. So I thought,
I still think the game's good.
I think you did, but yeah, you've seen in the long run now, it's there's just some like, other problems.
Yeah, so the main thing that bugs me is that you start on one planet and you spend a lot of time on the starting planet because like you're building up your base, you're building up things to build other things, you know, the general loop, you need this building to build this building and you need that building to do this.
Yeah.
And so I was exploring the planets quite a bit, and then I'd come across this instance where it was like, oh, I need this one element, like iron, and that's not available on my planet. It's only available on another one. So I'm constructing a spacecraft to fly there, and the spacecrafts are like limited in use. So I can only like fly there and back, and then I have to construct a new thruster or whatever. So I get there, and when I get there, I realize, oh, shit, I can't construct oxygen tethers. So oxygen tethers are like, you know, so you can tether yourself. You like leave a breadcrumb trail back from where you started. So you can get back pretty easily, but you also need it to survive. So I can't build a oxygen tether trail because I don't have like an oxygen producing machine. Only if I stay within proximity of my spaceship do I stay alive. So it's okay, fuck. Now I need to go back. Because now I have no buildings here and construct that from scratch and bring it here. But then if I bring that here, it's going to need power. So I need a power supply. It's like rebuilding your base on a new base from scratch, just to explore it. And what I ended up finding was like, I don't want to do all that because that's going to take a lot of time again. Because it just took, and there's 7 planets. Like I'm not going to do that 7 times. So what I found was instead of exploring each planet as deeply as the others, I'd often just fly my ship to the planet I needed, make a fucking daring dash to get the resource I need and get back on my spaceship.
Instead of having to build up.
Which makes like the exploration of those planets like kind of meaningless. I mean, there's nothing stopping you from rebuilding your base that many times. But it took me like a good 10, 12 hours to feel comfortable on the planet I started on. There wasn't enough incentive to redo that 7 times. Sure. And then on the planet I started on, there were these like alien relics, these like ruins that I could find and activate. And I spent a lot of time, because there's like six of them on the surface and then one in the middle of the planet. And so I spent a lot of time building a network of oxygen tethers to safely get down there. And it took forever to dig to the center of the planet, like safely.
Sure.
And when I got there, it was awesome. It was like, oh, all these nodes interconnect and the gravity is all fucked up in the center because like if I jump here, then my center of gravity alters. It was like really cool. But then all it ended up being was like these fast travel points. Like I could fast travel to any of the ruins. Like there wasn't any like story or interesting resource there for me to gather, nothing. And I was like, that's a bit deflating.
So yeah, you basically live on the first planet and the rest is like optional almost.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. It's really fun still. I think it's even better in co-op because then you...
How many people can you play up to?
I think it's just two. I played with just two. I don't know if you can play more.
Who's your
That's
buddy?
Really fun.
Who's your co-op
I just
buddy?
Played with a random person.
Like, hello!
And I really like that, you know, at first you're walking around and building these tethers, but eventually I like constructed a car and then I connected... trailers to this car using the little plugs, and it was really cute. I had like this train of like trailers following me around, and because the cars need energy to survive, I put like a wind generator and a solar generator on the front, so my cars always have power.
Yeah, it's just always going.
And then when they're running low on power and it's nighttime, I'm like fuck, and I'm driving around looking for a gust of wind so I can. It's really cute, like that's very awesome, very cute. I generally found it very, very relaxing to play because it's not like a hardcore survival game. Yeah. Like building networks for oxygen is fairly easy.
Yeah.
And the resources you need for them are abundant and power is easy to come by once you've established it at least once. So it's not like I'm worrying about hunger or thirst or sleep or this and that.
Yeah, that
it's
stuff.
Like,
yeah.
You're just chilling around. You're just going around. You're just hunting what you can and... hopefully leaving a trail back to your base, because I did get lost once for about an hour where, because once you go far enough from your base, the marker disappears from your map.
Oh no.
So I was driving around in circles trying to find where the fuck.
Oh no.
And eventually I just found as soon as I got my car, I wasn't dropping down tethers everywhere, so I didn't know where I was going.
Oh no.
And eventually I found like a network of tethers and I was like following it back to my base. Like, I was like, thank God. I put
Hallelujah.
Yeah. But it's fun. Like, yeah, I gave it a 6 out of 10 because it has problems with like keeping that good feeling going.
Yeah.
But I think you could easily pick it up and enjoy your hours. Like its fundamental mechanics are really good.
So, yeah. I mean, even if you don't go sit and explore the other planets, you're getting a good, I don't know, 10.
I would say it's a fantastic
hours.
Way to spend a weekend.
Mm.
I played it last weekend, all of Saturday and all of Sunday, and I had a great time.
It's good. Is it on Switch? Take it on a road trip.
It's coming to Switch. It's not on Switch yet.
Oh, yeah. We established that last week.
But I don't feel any need to go back
to it
now.
Yeah.
Like, I had my weekend with it. It was chilled
out.
But
again, those survival games, it's the thing of the game comes out and it'll just get better with time.
Generally, that's also true. Yeah.
Generally, they just fix all the problems, add stuff. I mean, you might go back and if the game's still running in like 3 years, be like, oh shit, they've added extra planets and now there's incentive to visit them because X, Y, Z.
Yeah, no,
they'll address stuff.
Yeah.
So,
like Starbound went through the same sort of thing. I felt like I struggled with a need to continue playing, and then its updates really made it into something special.
Like,
so, and unsurprisingly, I'm getting games confused. Never mind. I was going to say this is made by the Starbound people, but it's not.
But
I got confused.
Think about No Man's Sky as well.
Yeah, it's like a No Man's Sky thing. Yeah. It's less dense than a No Man's Sky in terms of like mechanics, which I find to be in its benefit. But yeah, I think Astroneer could definitely, it could still iterate into something brilliant, and it's really good now still. Mm. Like, don't let 6 out of 10 make you think it's a bad game. Like, it's not a bad game.
Nice.
I enjoyed it.
That's Astroneer.
Astroneer. Should we do...
Games out this
Games
week.
Games releases.
Games.
Oh man, this week is a week.
Oh shit,
this week is a fucking week of note.
It's Valentine's Day, so if you're looking for something to buy your loved one.
Buy them a PlayStation.
Buy them games.
Lots of games. So we're looking at releases from the 8th or 9th of February. Yeah, 9th of February to the 15th.
Excuse me.
So excited.
Geez, sorry, I'm exhausted. I wonder why.
Let's start with smaller ones. We got Hacky Sack, which is a platformer with a hacky sack. It came out a few years ago, but it's out on PS4 now. It looks really cool. I really want to play it. You got Hyper Jam, PC, PS4, and Xbox One. That's, I think, more like a Windjammers type thing.
Hyper Jam.
Then here we start. Trials Rising.
Ooh, boy.
You know Trials?
Yes.
It's a good time. This one looks really good. Basically, it looks like the Blood Dragon of Trials.
Did you ever play Lastomania?
Lastomania?
This is a sign of my age. That was a big thing when I was, in high school. It's basically Trials, but think of it as a very basic looking 2D bike game.
I did play this, but was it called that?
Elastomania.
It was like you were on a bike, and when you broke, it was like your stick figure just like kind of like...
No, Elastomania was... If you hit your head, you just died. And there were apples to collect in the level, and it was the same thing of just get through the level, and they were insane.
It's not the same game I'm thinking of, but similar in that vein.
Yeah.
I'm super, super keen for Trials, because I think Trials is just a fun time.
Yep.
What else? Let's go... Civilization 6, Gathering Storm. No, that got delayed. That shouldn't be on this list. Yeah, that got delayed. That's a big expansion for Civ 6. I think that got delayed. Cook Serve Delicious 2. Cook Serve Delicious is fun, apparently. Zoe from the show loves Cook Serve Delicious.
I've never played it, though.
It's out on PS4 now this week. Ollie, Switch Stance. Have you played Ollie?
I played on Vita.
So good!
Ollie Oxenfree.
So Ollie Switch Stance is both of the games, and they come into Switch now, and I will 100% buy it.
Play them. Oh,
because Ollie is fucking awesome. One of the best skateboarding games in a long, long time.
Nice.
Now we get to
the good stuff.
Here's the shit. Okay, so February 15th, Metro Exodus. PC, PS4, Xbox One. February 15th, Crackdown 3, PC and Xbox One. February 15th, Far Cry New Dawn, PC, PS4, Xbox One.
That's a lot of games.
Do you want to guess the next release date?
Anthem?
February 15th, Jump Force.
Oh.
PC, PS4, Xbox One. February 15th, Anthem.
Anthem.
EA and Origin Access. So if you've got EA or Origin Access on Xbox One or PC, you can play 10 hours of the game before its release on 22nd.
Oh, so it's not actually out on the 15th? Yes and no.
Kind of is. If you've got Origin Premium, you can play the game unlimited.
Premium.
Premium. Then there's other games on the 15th, but they're not as big as that. So let's run it down. Metro, Crackdown, Far Cry, Jump Force, and Anthem. All on the same day.
Yeah.
Who decided this?
I don't know.
This is a bad idea.
This is the thing. Game publisher... I don't even know if it's the it's not the game makers themselves, I don't think. Maybe more the publishers and PR arm of the company.
I mean...
Why?
When you look at it, like... Okay, so firstly, it used to be just Metro, Crackdown, Anthem, and it was initially Days Gone was going to be this Days Gone. That was the big four, and everyone was going... Okay, these are all four very different games, but they're all, just by virtue of being close to one another, even if you're buying two, you're looking at the other two and not buying those.
Yeah.
Then Days Gone got delayed. But then Far Cry got announced in December and chose this day for some fucking bizarre reason. And Jump Force as well, only got its release date after E3 and chose this date as well. Like, they're all different games. Like, Jump Force is a fighting game.
It's not even about being different games. I mean, in terms of actual, like, marketing and PR... Mm. Who's going to be the do you want to be the conversation at the time, or you do want to be drowned out with other games? Because it could be like Anthem's really great, so is Jump Force, and you know what? Not everyone's going to talk about every single game, you know, exclusively. Yeah. So
just by virtue of there being too many.
Yeah, I mean, like think about as a dumb example, Apex. It came out. Nothing else significant is out at this time. It's like getting all of the press. Okay, but if it came out next, it came out for argument's sake on the 15th, it might have lost that, but I think, for example, Apex would have had all of the attention, and then what happens to Metro, what happens to Jump Force, what happens to Anthem, why do you launch on the same day? I don't understand.
I think Anthem's in a bit of a spot, because even though I think so Apex, a lot of people are going, what is EA doing? They're butchering their releases again, because they just released Apex, and now they've got Anthem. They're doing... the same thing that they did to Titanfall 2 and Battlefield 1. I'm like, yes and no, because firstly, Apex is a highly competitive shooter. It's free, so there's no barrier to entry.
No, yeah, that's a different argument.
But Anthem is like a full price game. There's no PvP. It's all PvE, and it's a loot-based shooter. So even though they are shooters, they are completely different types of markets.
Like, shooters.
Yeah, there's a lot of people like Nicola. Nicola is a prime example. Does not like Apex because he does not like competitive shooters, but he loves loot-based shooters.
So he's excited for Anthem.
Yeah. So, well, he's not excited for Anthem because their beta was a complete fuck-up and he thought it was bad.
I mean, like, he's excited for the Division.
In an ideal world where Anthem seemed to be very compelling, like, that would be his game and Apex would not be stealing his attention from that. So I don't think... I think EA, you know, they planned that correctly. But yeah, all these games, I mean, Metro, big single-player game. Crackdown 3, also a big single-player game. Far Cry New Dawn is like an expansion to a big single-player game. They're all kind of in the same... They attract the same audiences, but especially Metro and Far Cry.
Crackdown's got multiplayer. Well, I suppose they all have some elements
It's not the biggest draw, I don't think. Yeah. I don't know. But like, Metro and Far Cry are directly competing. Single-player, first-person shooters. Like, I don't understand, man. I don't understand.
So, 52 weeks in a year.
Out of all of those, which are you most excited for?
I'm probably not going to play any of them, to be honest.
How dare you?
I'm genuinely curious to see how Crackdown 3 does.
Yeah.
Not because I'm interested in the game, but because it's Crackdown 3.
Yeah.
It's been delayed so many times.
We saw Microsoft at our first my first Gamescom. You were there with me when it first got revealed.
Was that long ago?
2015, wow. I think it was.
It's 2014 or 2015. It's,
I think it was
so
2015 or 2016.
No, wait, it might be 2015. I don't know. Point is, it's a long time ago.
It was a fucking long time ago.
Shit. So I'm just dying to know, is it like a surprise hit and people are like, whoa, we didn't expect to be this good, or is it what everyone thinks, like it's been delayed, it's not great.
Yeah. The previews for it that came out like last week were surprisingly positive. I was kind of shocked by that. But every time I see it, and definitely when I played it at E3, when I played it at E3, it was meant to come out that December, and they delayed it because of how bad the response was at E3. Like, it was fucking terrible. It felt like Crackdown 1, which is what I wanted, but without any sort of attention to modernizing it. Like, I love the first Crackdown. It's one of my favorite games from the 360, but that game came out in 2007.
A long time ago.
Yeah. It needs to be modernized.
Really good.
Yeah.
Anthem as well, I'm like, I don't know. It looks hit or miss. So people are saying, yeah, the flying's great, feels good. But what about the rest of the game? Like, how's that? The open beta and stuff was a complete disaster. So I don't know. I think that game lost a lot of love just from that alone.
I've seen a lot of people say it's fun with friends, but the thing that bugs me about it is, like, its shooting doesn't feel compelling. Like, it just feels like, just a third-person shooting. And even on that, like, the Division's shooting feels better than Anthem's. And the thing that keeps me coming back to a game like Destiny is its game feel. Like, Destiny, I can play alone just for a few hours and enjoy myself just because the shooting feels so good, fucking good. Like, it is the gold standard for first-person shooting. And Anthem does not feel anywhere near that for its particular genre.
Yeah.
I just find it boring.
The game looks pretty as well.
It looks pretty, yeah. But I find it boring. I find the fact that you always have to choose missions from the central hub to go out into a mission world. It's not like Destiny where you just plop on a planet and walk around, which I find bizarre. Like,
yeah, it's weird.
I don't understand that. I've cooled down on Anthem a lot because I was very excited.
No, I think a lot of people were like, ooh.
I played the alpha and then I played more of this beta and I'm just like, I don't think I'm going to enjoy this game at all.
And what else is coming? There's Jump Force.
Jump Force is a fighting game.
Yeah.
Far Cry.
Metro actually looks
really
good.
I'm fucking excited for Metro. I love the Metro series.
Yeah, so
you haven't played any of them?
I've played like half of the first one and I loved it.
2033, yeah.
Yeah, I just never finished it. But I did enjoy it and I'm curious to see how this one does because is it more open worldy?
Yeah, so there were previews that came out last week or this week. I think it was last week. And the way they described it was it's not one persistent open world. It's more like hubs. So you'll move from this big open space to the next big
like
open space.
Like the Tomb Raiders, let's say.
Yeah, sort of, yeah. So open world-ish, you know what I mean?
Know what I mean?
I think like once you move to a new area, you can't come back to a previous area type thing. Which is cool. I'm interested to see because like Last Light and 2033 were really good because they were really good linear shooters, but because they were linear, they could amplify like some of the horror and the tension in the underground. Now you're out of the underground, firstly, so you're not in the subways of Moscow anymore, which is strange. And now that you have all this freedom, I don't know if they can maintain that same sort of feeling.
Yeah.
But I'm excited. I love the Metro series. I think Metro Last Light is criminally underrated.
Yeah.
Or underplayed. It was it was ranked pretty highly when it came out, but more people should play the game. It's fucking phenomenal.
Yeah. So what a week of releases.
Yeah, what a week. My God. Should get to gaming news.
Gaming news, they said.
Read us the news, they said.
Gaming news, it'll be interesting, they said.
Will it? Are you sure?
We could probably start with the... Well, I don't know, was it yesterday where... So EA, I think they published their... Was it their annual or quarterly or whatever? Their quarterly is like, EA stocks are down big time. And then Apex.
That was just before Apex launched.
Yeah, just before Apex launched. And then news this week's like, hey, Apex single-handedly pushed the stocks back beyond what they were before they dropped.
I think in just this week alone, they've risen like 14-15%, which is wild.
Which leads me to don my tinfoil hat and think, did EA know this was coming? Is this why they dropped Apex when they did?
I don't even think even they expected Apex to have this effect.
I don't think anyone expected. I mean, I think if you the Apex team and EA execs, you know, like, okay, we've got a good game on our hands.
Yeah.
But I don't think anyone expected it to do as well as it has done.
No, to be this culturally compelling and...
I mean, if you go to Twitch right now, I've been checking all week. Apex has double, even triple, what Fortnite's people that are watching viewership, which is like, it's launch hype. But my colleagues and I often bounce around on Twitch and we look and see what's happening on Twitch at the moment. And games that come out will be top of the charts for a few days and they bounce off. Like Resident Evil 2, when it came out, was doing very well. What a game, top of the charts. Now it's a different game, not a multiplayer shooter, but it slipped down to a couple of places. Apex has just been hanging on that top spot all week, and it's not like just beating Fortnite and all the other people. It's like doubling, tripling numbers.
What was it? It was like the first 8 hours they got their first 1 million players.
Yeah.
And then the first 24 hours they got their first 2 million.
2 million.
And then in 72 they had 10.
Yeah.
Which is fucking crazy. And you have
everyone, like even Ninja. I'm like, Ninja to me is the Fortnite dude. He's playing Apex. I'm like, shit.
It's... They brought out a game that was both different, so it felt like a different battle royale, and then just polished to the point which it
very
felt
polished.
Good. It's not an early access game. This is a full release, it feels like a full release. Yeah.
It still shocks me that it came out of, like, no one knew.
Out of nowhere. Yeah, that they kept it under wraps for that long. Unbelievable.
Jason Schreier failed.
Yeah.
Where's the inside scoop?
As part of that announcement, Titanfall 3 is not in development. Okay, so this got weird. So Apex came out, then interviews with Vince Sampella, who is the lead of Respawn. He, previously Call of Duty man. He said Titanfall 3 has never been in production. It was never in production. And Jason Schreier says...
lies.
Well... He didn't say lies. He says, from the conversations he's had with people, Titanfall 3 was definitely on the cards and in some way produced on. It might not have gone into full-on production yet.
Damn.
Or what was production on Titanfall 3 got changed into Apex, which is... Yeah. That makes sense, you know? But then, like, the day afterwards, Vince Sampella came out and said, hey, we're still working on Titanfall stuff for this year, but it's not Titanfall 3. So what the fuck is it?
What is it? It's a mobile game.
Like... If the Titanfall team is working on Apex and then Respawn has a second team working on Jedi Fallen Order, which is coming out later this year, apparently.
Oh boy.
There's another team. They had a deal with Oculus back in the day for a VR game. Titanfall VR.
Oh no.
I'd fucking play that.
You'll get sick playing that
game. A mech game in VR, but your Titans?
Yes, you'll be so sick playing that game.
I'll be so happy. I don't know.
Did you just say you'll be so happy throwing up?
Yeah, just like, I love this Titan. I love this Titan. I don't know what they're working on, but it's not Titanfall 3, but there's something Titanfall related. I don't know.
If Apex keeps this ball rolling, even if just for a year,
put Titans in
it. Not even to put Titans in it. It'll make enough money that they'll be like, cool, let's make a Titanfall 3. I mean, you never know. This might be...
Fuck, I want a Titanfall 3
This might
so
be
badly.
What that franchise needed, because Titanfall 2, although like highly acclaimed, everyone loved it.
Didn't sell well.
Released between Battlefield 1 and the Call of Duty of that mm-hmm. year. Like, why would you do that?
I read an interesting story that wasn't EA's fault. So
how?
So Respawn chose their release date.
Yeah.
And they stuck to it.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe it is a bit of EA's fault, but they stuck to it because they wanted to compete directly with Call of Duty.
Mm.
But what happened that year is that Battlefield was meant to come out in September. It then got delayed into October the week before, and by the time it was delayed, it was far too late for Respawn to change the date. So they got fucked.
Yeah, man, that's sad. So, but Titanfall 2, not a big seller. Apex...
Apex, so good.
Yeah, Apex swoops in, makes them $1 billion. Hey, Titanfall 3 in 5 years, 4 years.
Titanfall
whatever.
2 is cheap as chips everywhere.
Cheap as chips.
Cheap as chips.
Can we have that on a shirt?
Yes. You should buy the game just for the single player alone because it is one of the best first person shooter campaigns in years.
I wonder if Apex will lead people to do that.
Oh, dude, you haven't even played Titanfall 2's campaign.
The thing is, I've been wanting to, but now that I've played Apex, I'm like, oh, these are the guns from Titanfall.
There's a level in Titanfall 2.
Titanfall 2 sales hit bazillions.
It's so good. I love that game so much.
What are the news?
More EA stuff. So Disney says that they have a good relationship with EA and they are happy with EA's work on the Star Wars games.
How are they happy with the work?
The only way that they can be happy is that they are only looking at sales, and in that regard, both Battlefront 1 and 2 have sold incredibly well, despite being lackluster games.
That is so disappointing.
They are not worried about the games that have been cancelled, and are looking forward to Jedi Fallen Order later this year.
So this deal that they have lasts 10 years, and they're halfway through it.
Yes, and they've only been two games.
Okay, now here's a hypothetical. At the end of this partnership, who would you like to pick up the Star Wars license?
You know what I would like is which would probably not happen because it'd be far too difficult for Disney to oversee it, but not give it to one publisher.
Split it between a few.
So have it, and then studios approach Disney with pitches, and then Disney chooses. But then they become a publisher, and that's the problem. They don't want to do that.
Yeah.
So to me, that would be ideal, because then you could have studios imagine a Naughty Dog goes to Disney and say they want to create a single player Star Wars experience only for PS4. Something like that. Or Microsoft's The Coalition goes up to them and want to make a shooter.
Surely they can do that, though, because think about... this is a weird one, because Marvel is part of Disney, but we've got like Marvel Spider-Man made exclusively by...
I think that's different because there's that Sony relationship.
Yeah, but then we've got Square Enix making... No, not... Is it Square Enix making the Avengers game? Who's making the Avengers game?
Square Enix and Crystal Dynamics.
I mean, that's two completely different things, but... So
something like that, like... Where Square Enix is overseeing the publishing of that game, but Marvel still has oversight on it. So Telltale also had a deal with Marvel at some point, but obviously that's not going to happen now.
Yeah.
So something like that. What Marvel's doing with their games is very smart.
Mm. But Marvel's part of Disney is what I'm getting at. So
do it with Star Wars. Yeah, I don't understand. To me, that is a much better thing than giving it to one publisher.
One publisher.
Yeah.
Who's done two...
Two lackluster games and cancelled... Two.
Although we can be grateful for Battlefront 2 because it got the conversation going on bullshittery and microtransactions.
Jesus Christ, I'm very excited to see what Respawn does with Jedi Order, because did you ever play the Jedi Outcast games back in the day?
With
Cal Katarn?
No.
They were like this hybrid of first-person shooter, so you were first-person shooting, and then when you got a lightsaber, it turned into a third-person action game.
Fuck me.
If any studio can do this, Respawn can do this.
Nice.
So, yeah, excited.
All of the EA news.
Let's see.
Gaming news.
Assassin's Creed 3 Remastered is coming to PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One on March 29th.
Yay.
You can see a trailer of it looking more beautiful than ever. Too bad it's a shit game.
I know.
Assassin's Creed 3 is my least favorite in the entire
series. One's that? Is that still all Ezio?
No, that's is that the American one?
Yeah.
Which is so annoying because to me it's the historical period where they could have done so much and they fucked it up. And so irritated.
What? Why? So much
I
hate.
Just, that game is so mindlessly boring. I really do not like that game. Yeah, I just, no.
Look at Assassin's Creed now. Doing so well.
Devil May Cry made a massive change to its timeline. So ever since, before this week, the timeline has consisted of, I think, Devil May Cry 1 or 3. 1 or 3 is first. I can't remember which one now. But it's like 1, 3, then 4, and then 2.
Canonical timeline.
So 4 was always like before 2. Now they've just changed that. Now 2 happens before 4.
How can you just change it?
I don't know. It makes no sense. They've done it just to make things in the fifth game, which comes out in March, make sense. But fuck me. What a strange change.
The fifth game, you know there's a demo out this weekend?
Yeah. You should download that thing.
If you want to play Devil May Cry.
Do you know that uses the same engine as Resident Evil?
It's going to be beautiful.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's so beautiful. Nintendo Switch is going to benefit from Vivox voice chat. This is the voice chat that is being used in Fortnite, but it's basically going to mean that you can use voice chat
on the device itself.
Yes. Well, depending if the hardware allows it. I mean, there was that report where someone plugged in their headset and they were able to do voice chat directly on the device itself in Splatoon local play or whatever. So the hardware's there.
Yeah.
But hopefully this is going to open up Nintendo to not using that fucking bullshit app that they have for voice chat.
Why?
Vivox is also owned by Unity, which is strange, but this is the same system that's used in popular online games like Fortnite. So.
Oh. Because Fortnite, you can voice chat, can't you, on the Switch?
Yeah, but you still need it through the app, not through the device directly. Yeah.
Why do I think it was through the device directly?
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Microsoft Studios is rebranded as Xbox Game Studios.
Oh.
Even though they're still making it for PC and Xbox. But I guess their platform is being called Xbox. Which comes into the next bit of news. Xbox is giving a talk at GDC. And the now pulled description of the talk lends credence to this idea that they want to get Xbox Live on a bunch of platforms. So they are talking about an SDK that will allow easy access to Xbox Live on iOS, Android, PC, and Nintendo Switch.
Now, does that mean that you can play Xbox games via those devices?
No. So what it means now is that Microsoft is trying to make a single account that's accessible across all those devices, which kind of already happens. Mm. If you play Minecraft on Switch, you are signing in with your Xbox Live account. So I think this is just making that easier. If there's support for your account on these devices, this could lend itself to Microsoft's streaming service, which comes out in the near future.
Yeah.
So what if the Switch allows this streaming app on there and you can just stream
play
Xbox
Gears of War on your Switch?
Fucking hell.
Play Fours on your Switch.
That'd be wild.
Wild.
I'm hoping that they do that. Like, oh my God. Oh my God.
But like, I don't know. Then I'd love for that to happen. Don't get me wrong. But then what happens with you, Nintendo? Do you allow that to happen?
Yeah, I think Nintendo is the big question mark in that equation. Like, does Nintendo allow that to happen? Like, why would they allow that to happen? They don't even have Netflix on their thing yet. So.
I do not have Netflix.
I don't know. I'm curious. I mean, if they are allowing this Xbox Live SDK, then I don't know. Interesting times.
Yep.
EA confirms Battlefield 5 did not meet sales expectations despite selling over 7 million copies.
Shocker. I genuinely feel bad for Battlefield 5 because from what I've heard, a lot of my friends are playing it. They're loving the game. Still playing the multiplayer. It's Battle Royale. It comes out next month.
Yeah.
How is it going to compete with not only Apex now, but PUBG and Fortnite? Like, it has to be really damn good.
And even then, it just... I feel bad for Battlefield 5, like you said, just because it's like... It dropped all the things that maybe people liked from Battlefield 1, like the cool vignettes, because I thought the vignettes in 5 were terrible.
Yeah.
And they'd made these weird changes to the multiplayer that just made it strange. Like, only one class can act as a spotter now. Like, not everyone can mark people. Like, it just made strange changes. I feel like that series is aimless now. It needs a shot to reinvigorate it again. And I thought Battlefield 1 would be that. And it did, because it's all 20 million.
Mm.
But then Battlefield it's not enough. Like,
we need Bad Company 3 is what you're telling me.
I'd be down. More smiley faces on grenades.
Oh, boy.
Michael Condry of Sledgehammer Studios. So Sledgehammer was founded by Michael Condry and Glenn Schofield, who came from Visceral Games. They were the creators of Dead Space. Then they created Sledgehammer Games, and they created
some good old CODs.
Yeah, Call of Duty Advanced Warfare and World War II, two of some of the best CODs in recent years. They then both transitioned into management at Activision directly, and then both very quietly left Activision in December. Glenn Schofield is taking a break from games. He's working on... He's an artist, so he's working on art. He does incredible art. and Michael Condry is now opening a new studio under 2K.
Oh, interesting. I had no idea that left.
Yeah, neither did I.
Because there was that was big news back in the day. It's like, oh, they're stepping up into managerial positions.
Yeah, yeah, they're not ahead of Sledgehammer anymore. 2K is opening up all these studios, but haven't been putting out games. I mean, there was a report a while back of them working on a new Bioshock with a new 2K studio. Then they have Hangar 13, who did Mafia 3, who are working on a new project that no one's heard of yet.
Oh, no.
And now Michael Condry is opening up a studio there. So, and big things happening in 2K.
Where's Borderlands 3?
Where's Borderlands? Does anyone really want Borderlands 3?
I want Borderlands 3, but I don't know how it would...
I don't think it's going to be that good.
No, that's the thing. I don't know how it would be...
It's been like good. 7 years since Borderlands 2.
I don't need a lot of changes. I don't know. We need Borderlands to go full God of War and give it some sort of reboot that makes it relevant now and it makes it really good.
According to Metacritic, Capcom was 2018's best publisher.
Not shocked.
Hot damn, can you believe it?
Old Capcom.
Unbelievable. Marshmallow had a Fortnite concert and drew in over 10 million people. That thing was fucking crazy.
That was,
so cool. Like, I saw kids... Like, fucking cool. Like, it's awesome that a game can do that in that way.
I know earlier I was like, well, Apex is taking away from... I mean, at the end of the day, Fortnite is still Fortnite. So I don't think it's going anywhere. It's the same shit as when Fortnite came out. People were like, PUBG's dead. I mean, did you see the Steam Award winners?
No.
PUBG voted Game of the Year.
Wow.
I'm not even lying.
This is like all that fucking subscribe to PewDiePie shit.
Here's where I laugh, because it's like best developer... CD Projekt Red. Like, The Witcher 3 came out like years ago.
They didn't even do anything. They released The Witcher Gwent thing, which is pretty good. But still.
And then it's like, best environment, The Witcher 3. I'm like, Witcher 3 came out 3 years ago.
User votes were a mistake.
It's so
User
funny.
Votes were a mistake.
I laugh. You just go look at those awards, you'll just laugh. Like, but this game didn't even come out this
That's news.
Is that news?
That is good news.
And yes, can you check our email? Because I can't check.
We got it. We reset the timer.
Did we get an email?
Yes.
Okay, because we have nothing on Twitter.
Wow.
And nothing on Facebook.
Wow.
So who
guys, I'm not going to say I'm disappointed, but I'm disappointed.
Hey, but we got an email, so I'm not disappointed. It's okay.
Reset the fucking counter.
I will. Okay.
We're down to
zero. If it's an email that says reset the counter, I'm going to be so
mad. It actually does say that. But it does have a question.
Okay.
Does have a question. It comes from Zane. He says, hey, Zane. He's resetting the counter.
Nah.
What a champ. What a man.
What a champion.
Champion. He's basically asking, let me read the email verbatim, so I'm not just paraphrasing it.
Verbatim.
Verbatim. Hold on. I've got to get to my email. I have so many emails. There we go. So he says, hey guys.
Was that a humble flex?
Yes.
I have so many emails.
Yeah,
I'm so popular.
So much.
Oh my God.
What's your thoughts on Tom Clancy's The Division? Will either of you be playing the beta for the sequel this weekend? And do you intend on jumping into the game itself next month on release? Zane.
No.
that's a massive shocker from your side.
I don't know why.
The first one?
No, I didn't.
You didn't at all?
No.
Huh.
Now, this is one of those things where I'm pretty sure I'd enjoy the division.
Okay? I think so too, yeah.
I mean, we were just talking about Borderlands. Borderlands, what hooked me is that whole loot thing.
Mm.
You know, same thing with Diablo. I'm a sucker for, like many people, that quick little shots of satisfaction, like, this loot's slightly better than what I have. And you rinse and repeat for like 400 million hours.
Mm. Oh, this is why you like Diablo so much.
Yeah, I mean, I love those sort of games, but I don't know. I just think of games like The Division. I'm like, cool, I'll enjoy it, but I don't know if I want another time sync game when... It's like, here's my thing. I played PUBG and I'm like, shit, this is a game that will last forever sort of thing. Mm-hmm, like, there's no end to it. Like, every hour I spend playing PUBG, I'm taking away from finishing other games. And I finally got over, and it is the same thing with Dota, okay? So I got over Dota, got hooked on PUBG. Got over PUBG, got hooked on Fortnite. Now I'm like, not over Fortnite, I haven't really played this season, but now I've got Apex Legends. I'm like, do I really have the time to commit to a game like The Division, which you can finish in, say, 30 hours, whatever. But you should actually be playing
once or twice a week. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, doing dailies, whatever, and playing endgame stuff. Like,
I mean, that's how I chip away at Destiny now, because there's no new content that's speaking to me, but I'm logging in maybe once or twice a week and just playing like for an hour or two, just doing a daily here and there. And it's fun. Like, it's good. And I really enjoyed the first Division. I thought its setting was really cool. It's like wintery New York and stuff. I just thought it was strange because it's like a military shooter, but like because it's an RPG shooter, like everyone's like a bullet sponge. So contextually, it makes strange.
You just empty the shit out of your clips.
It's strange. But I thought it was really good. I thought it had endgame problems, which they ended up addressing.
They fixed, yeah.
Yeah. I thought the Dark Zone was a fucking awesome idea.
Like, which they fixed now as well.
So yeah, the sequel just has lots of things that speak to me. Like, you've got three dark zones now. There's different ways for you to get loot out of there. It's not just a single method. You've got a whole new story and a whole new area to explore. And it's more of the like same shooting. You've got different abilities, but the shooting, the third person action is still the same. And I thought it was really good in the first division already. So. The one thing I do miss, I played a bit of the beta yesterday, very briefly, so that's why I didn't really chat about it. The one thing I immediately missed is just the wintery feeling,
because it's nice
summer.
Yeah.
I like the heaviness of the characters where they were wearing like coats and the gas masks and like beanies and stuff, like really cool. Here, my dude's just wearing shorts and a t-shirt.
And
so.
In the first one, you're in New York,
yeah. Now you're in Washington,
this one's
DC.
More open, like not necessarily streets and tall buildings.
It still is like my first, yeah, it's a bit more like vegetation and stuff like that, but it's still a city. Like the very first mission, the tutorial mission, is you storming the White House.
Okay.
So that was pretty cool. Yeah, like your base of operations is in the White House.
Nice.
That's pretty neat.
But
yeah, it's really good. I'm very excited to. I'm more excited to hop into Division 2 than I am Anthem.
I think that's sentiment for quite a few people.
Yeah, quite a few people seem to feel the same. Even though it's more of Division 1, I think throughout the lifespan of the Division 1, they learnt a lot of lessons. And I think like a year or two afterwards, people were like, hey, you should return to Division. This game has turned into something.
Classic Ubisoft.
Yeah, exactly. And again, now you know, because the Division 2 was kind of like the first show of this. Like, Ubisoft supports their online games in a way that no other publisher does. So they supported Division 1 tons, and then straight after that was Rainbow Six, which is still today going, is like one of the best competitive shooters out there, and it didn't start that way.
No. A lot of the games start off like meh.
Yeah, exactly.
And they just get better.
Exactly.
So.
For Honor now as well is another game that a year later people going, huh, you should
play it.
You should check back into this because this thing's actually something now. So even if the Division 2 doesn't promise something at launch, which I think is not the case, I think it's promising a lot at launch, you will know that Ubisoft will support this game going forward. So. Yeah, excited.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, I'm not going to pick it up though, unfortunately. And I did get a beta key for this weekend, but I want to play Apex.
How dare you? But yeah, if you are excited for Division 2, hit us up with questions. Let us know. Let us know what you're playing aside from Apex. Apex are good.
Damn it. I was gonna
say Apex. Are you gonna stream Apex this week, or are you streaming more Bloodborne?
Next week. No, so my Tuesdays and Thursdays are like just Bloodborne. I need to finish that game.
Okay.
I have such a here's a quick little interjection. I have such a problem with the PlayStation though, and party chat. Streaming that, getting that to pick up on my PC is it's such a nightmare.
So
I don't know.
It's not picking up the party chat.
So the PlayStation has a stupid problem where it can only output to one device. Mm. Okay. So I can either output the sound to my PC or I can output it to my headphones. It doesn't do both. Okay. The way I've solved this is that I'll output the sound to my PC and I plug my headphones directly into my monitor.
But then you can't chat.
I can't chat.
But you can hear everyone.
I can hear everyone, but I can't chat. But now I've bought, like, you get an Elgato chat splitter. I've got another device, a splitter, which allows me to plug like my PC headset into my controller. Everything, like, I've got the setup, but it looks like the software I'm using doesn't pick up this thing I have, because I'm not streaming with Elgato software.
Using Streamlabs.
I'm using Streamlabs. Mm. So it's a software thing that needs to be addressed. And it's such a pain because I really want to play. I'd love to stream Apex. Like,
but
I played.
You want to get that party chat.
I played a bunch last night, and we played the night before. Mm. And I'd love to play it, but I'm not going to stream it alone. Like, I can play it on PC. None of my friends are playing on PC.
So, like, the chat splitter connects like in between your controller and your headset, and then
plugs into the Elgato, but it doesn't pick up on the computer for some reason.
Yeah, that would be like Elgato software would definitely pick that up, but then Streamlabs
doesn't. So I don't know. There needs to be something. I don't
know.
You need
to search, because I'm sure someone has figured this out.
I've looked.
You've been looking.
I've looked everywhere.
If you are a ZA streamer, you should
help me fix this.
Man. Have you asked on the Discord?
I actually need to ask the Discord, because there must be a fix. I imagine there must be a fix. But yeah, if I can get my party chat working, I'll happily stream Apex.
What's your Twitch channel? Get that plug in.
Twitch.tv/hairy knees. I do have hairy knees. So
no,
one word.
No underscores.
No underscores. Yeah.
Just hairy knees.
Come hang out. I'm playing Bloodborne still Tuesdays and Thursdays.
You're very good at Bloodborne.
9 PM till late. What?
You're very good at Bloodborne.
I'm good at Bloodborne. What? What lies? I die a lot.
What's your counter at?
My counter? Oh, my counter. The death counter. It's 100 and something now.
Wow. Holy shit.
It's like 120 or something.
I mean, that's fair. Like, if I had a counter on mine, I'd probably be around there, or probably even worse, to be fairly honest. So
yeah. So it's a good time. So pull in, come say hey, and yeah.
If you want to get questions read on Checkpoint Chat, you can tweet at us at Checkpoint Chat on Twitter. You can also Facebook us, Facebook.com/checkpointchat.
Checkpointchat.com/Facebook.
Yes. Yeah. Go there, see what happens. You can also email us checkpointchatpodcast@gmail.com. Reset the counter like Zane did. Be a good person.
Reset the counter. Week after week.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Send us questions. Doesn't have to be gaming related. Can ask why Matty's hair looks so
flat this morning.
Flat this morning, yeah. It looks dead.
Dead.
Normally it's like a sentient
mop.
Because
I'm tired.
But now it's
I don't
dead.
Know. Maybe my afro is tired as well.
No, it's tired. It's like, who did sleep in
it? Get my beauty sleep. Yeah, and send us your ratings and reviews. Did you say that? I don't
know. No, I didn't.
I zoned out for a second. I was like,
if you're listening on a podcast, on a podcast service that allows ratings, leave a rating, leave a review, give us some criticism, give us some love.
Like, Maddie sounds too tired.
Maddie sounds too tired. Sandy sounds too energetic.
Yeah, we need a balance.
Coke before 9 in the morning.
Oh my god, Coke for breakfast.
Shut up.
You're gonna
die. Don't judge me.
I'll drink my pure H2O over here.
How dare you? You wish you had Coke. That's a lie. I know that.
Not that.
But yeah, this has been. Oh yeah. I wanted to do a thing. We are going to send out a questionnaire maybe next week or something.
We are.
Yeah, it's going to be just like a normal questionnaire thing. Like, how old are you? Where do you live? Like. Country.
Oh, an actual questionnaire.
Yeah,
this time.
Yeah, okay. Just it helps us approaching advertisers when they know our demographics. We'll put the link in the show description and tweet it out on platforms. Mm-hmm. So if you have 5 minutes, not even probably, just
Fill
take
that
survey. It will help us make the show better.
Yeah.
But we'll let you know next week when that goes out.
Cool.
Thanks for listening to episode 41 of Checkpoint Chat.
It.
Thank you, Maddie.
Okay.
Now you can go home and sleep.
No, I've got to go places today.
Wedding places.
No, but hospital places.
Oh,
because reasons.
Yeah.
See, Lenska visited us once, and now she's in hospital.
Now she's in hospital with a kidney stone.
That's how, that's not, how infectious.
Not in a happy place. Yeah.
That sucks. We send all our love.
We'll pass on the love. We'll checkpoint love.
Thank you for listening. Sure. We'll be back next week.